You know, is that not amazing or what? I mean, that was 7.5 hours right there. It condensed into 3 minutes of what happens every week as people come into this place. Men and women come into this room. They set this place up. They turn this sterile environment into a place for people to experience Jesus in increased ways. And you saw what happens on the creative end. You saw what happens in this room. It happens all over this building. And this is what ordinary people do, ordinary men and women that have said, hey, I want to be a part of creating this kind of space. And today, as we wrap up the series Backstage Pass, I'm excited about what we're going to talk about today, what we're going to kind of talk about, how the importance of what happens here and those that make this happen, the VIPs around here. So before we do that, let's pray. God, I am praying right now, and I'm thankful, first of all, that we can gather in this room. I'm thankful we can gather in a dark room like this, and we can hear things that maybe we're not going to hear in any other sector of society. Regardless of our spiritual orientation, regardless of our spiritual background, we can come in here, we can pursue you, we can try to understand and maybe see you for who you are, maybe see things differently than we've ever seen them before, and yet we're still left with the reality that you come into this place to see us. And so God, today as we continue to look at this, as we continue to unpack this, I'm going to ask you to help us to see things that maybe we have never seen before. Help us to see you in ways that we have never seen you before. And so I'd ask you to speak to us. I'd ask that you just reveal things to us. Whatever it may be, if there's any way you can use me, then do that. And I pray these things according to your name and character. Amen. Well, you know, one of the things we've been looking at over the last 3 weeks is this whole idea that we see Jesus calling people to a higher standard. We see Jesus interacting with people that you and I would say, man, why is Jesus hanging with those people? And he actually calls them to be a part of his movement and what he's doing. And so Nancy Veach said something really fascinating. She said, one is too small of a number for greatness. And today, I believe that. I've always believed that. But today, I want us to talk about what that means right there for you. And so I'm going to be coming at you today. I'm going to be coming at you hard. I'm going to, you know, I don't always do that. But I know some of you today, you're going to sit here and you're going to get new information. You're going to be like, wow, I had no idea this is how things work right here. And then others, if you're going to think, man, I've known this. This has been planted inside of me maybe years ago, and yet it's been covered up. It's been, maybe there's some things that have happened and I've kind of gotten away from it or I've gotten off track. And so today we're going to take a look at how you and I can have maximum impact and fulfill the purpose that God created us for. And that song just a few moments ago, anybody like you two around here? Yeah, you know, get your boots on. Great, great song. Take a look at the lyrics right there. You don't know how beautiful. You don't know how beautiful you are. You don't know, you don't get it, do you? I mean, the whole song's talking about how sexy it is, how beautiful it is when somebody rolls up their sleeves, when they get their boots on, they actually make a difference in somebody's life. And people do that every week around this place. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. I don't know that all of us capture how beautiful that really is. And so what I'm calling today, this today is called a Big Ask Weekend. All right, and so I'm even putting that on the screen just so you can see how I said that. It's a big ask weekend, and there's going to be a big ask today. And something, you know, if you're in communication, something you learn about communication is good communicators tell people what you're going to tell them, then you tell them, then you tell them what you told them. All right, so I'm going to tell you, I'm going to do those three things today. You're here today, and I'm going to put a big ask out today. In fact, what I'm going to be asking is for you to give your time. I'm going to be asking for you over this next season to give and make a commitment of giving yourself to 2 serving opportunities or more each month. And until we get into this next build, this next stage, our new building over the next 18 months, give or take. And so, you know, it's going to be a critical, critical season for us as we move forward. And over the last number of months, we've devoted some of the time on Sunday to building this community. A lot of times, we spend this time on Sunday mornings, you know, for people that are spiritual seekers, for people that are spiritual atheists, for people that, you know, are brand new, wherever they may be in their spiritual background, coming into a place, being able to see Jesus for who he is. And we gear our entire operations around that. And yet, every now and then, we have to build this community up, and I bring a little grittier message to what we're doing around here. And so today, I'm going to do that. And you know, if you're a seeker here today, or if you're newer, or you're just checking us out for the first time, I just want to say welcome. I'm glad you're here. You know, you're gonna see a picture of what the DNA of this place is all about. So sit back, enjoy. You know, you may see something that you can grab onto, or you might say, man, I want to be a part of this thing. And if you do, man, take a hold of it and connect with it. Because basically, at the end of our time here today, I'm going to be asking for us to be ready to make a commitment for serving 2 times or more each month in some way around this place throughout the course of a month. All right, so, so that's what I'm going to be asking.
Rah, rah. Here we go again, yeah. Man. I mean, it's like I come here every week, get my spiritual fill, I check off the box.
Yep.
Can't be like other churches, peace, love, the American dream. I mean, they always asking for commitment.
Seriously, dude.
Always
every
asking time. For always.
Hey, excuse me. Are you guys involved around here anywhere?
What do you mean?
Well, like, are you connected? Are you in like a life together group or anything?
Oh, I mean, dude. Small groups. You know, I was in one last time.
Yeah.
It was like this bar scene from Star Wars, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just weird.
It was.
Everybody
totally
in there weird. Was weird.
Totally right.
Well, like, are you guys like, in, are you like connected and serving, volunteering anywhere around here? I mean, is there anywhere that you serve?
United Way. I mean, actually, it's more like I watch the commercials.
Yeah,
I think about their commercials.
Of course,
yeah, they're good.
And do you agree with the commercials? I mean, is that?
Yeah, I think about them all the time.
Well, that's a start.
Yeah,
so
they're good.
So like you guys don't do any like real basic like handing out programs at the door, like opening the front door for somebody, or like holding babies in the nursery, or anything basic like that. I mean, how long you guys been around here?
Oh, a couple years.
Yeah, two or three years.
A couple years.
Wow, okay. A couple years. Well, do you guys realize that, like, you know, today may even be a good example that, you know, we were tight on getting started on our service on time because we had a couple things that we struggled with on the front end with load-in and a couple extra bodies, a couple extra people just helping that process would allow people who were coming in here for the first time to get started on time. Or that there have been environments, that our kids in areas that we've had to close down not too long ago and redistribute those volunteers because we had either an overabundance of kids back there or we were understaffed. I mean, you guys realize
that? I don't have any kids. So.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like some people need to do some better family planning.
Yeah, seriously.
Well,
come on.
Say?
Yeah.
So do you guys have a car? You have a car?
Yeah.
Actually, Jeff just got a new smart car.
Smart car.
Awesome. I bet you parked that dude right in the front row, didn't you?
You know what? Because it's new, I don't want anybody scratching it, so I actually park in two spaces right up
Wait.
Front.
I kind of
make it sideways.
Can you park a smart car in like two spots?
You got to do sideways.
Okay.
Sorry.
And of course, you're sitting in the back row, right?
Well, always.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, so we can get out quick.
All right, so here's the deal, guys. All right, so here's the deal. You guys have one of these? Backstage pass?
We do.
All right. So here's it. Hold on to it, because today this is going to change right here, all right?
Okay.
It's going to change. So here's the deal. I view anybody around here, I don't care what your spiritual orientation is, I don't care how long you've been here, I don't care how much you give around here, anybody in that category is considered an owner around here. You're considered a VIP. You're considered somebody who makes this place happen. And you know, I believe that there are those some of us that come into this place every week, and we resemble these two guys back here way too much. Way too much. And today that needs to change because this is not the way to have maximum impact back here. This is not the way to honor God with your life. This is not the way that church is supposed to operate. In fact, take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. The Apostle Paul, he's a big writer back in the New Testament. Here's what he said. He gave us a picture of what this entity is supposed to work like. He said, "What then shall we say, brothers? When you come together, everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction or a revelation or a tongue or an interpretation. All of these things must be done for the strengthening of the church." And so what this is saying right here is these are the principles right here that every church, including Cross Point Church right here in Fishers, these are the principles that every local church should operate by, including you and me, which means everyone comes bringing something. I mean, if you're connected to this place, if this place is built into you in any way at all, you come bringing something. Now, these are kind of like hyper-tense spiritual examples right here, but the whole point is you're bringing something. You know, whether it's a smile for somebody or, you know, a lap for a baby to sit on or you know, whatever it might be, a prayer for somebody as you're welcoming them in through the door. The whole idea of church is you're bringing something into this experience. And the whole idea is you're supposed to be not a consumer, but a contributor. You see, this world's filled with way too many consumers. Way too many people are like, "Well, you know, I see that. Yeah, I see our kids there. He needs some extra volunteers, but it's not my job. I don't have kids that work back there or go back there. I mean, why should I do that?" There's an author by the name of Seth Godin, and he wrote a book called Lynchpin, and he talks about that phrase specifically. He says, "It's not my job. The words can kill an entire organization. As the world moves faster and engagements become more fluid, the category of not my job keeps getting bigger and bigger." You see, there's a problem when we walk into a place that's built into us and we begin to say, "Oh, I see that. I see a need right here, but it's not my job. It's not my job." And you know what it looks like? It's like a bunch of Siskel and Ebert sitting here. Right? I mean, remember Siskel and Ebert? Anybody remember them? Siskel and Ebert, guys on the TV? You know what's fascinating about them? They never wrote anything, never invested in anything, never produced anything, never acted at anything. What did they do? They sat around, they critiqued and criticized, right? So all they did, they sit around in the back, and they never really poured themselves into anything, and yet they had all kinds of advice on how it should be done. And let me just say, you know, that is not a healthy thing. Not a healthy thing. Maybe honest, I get limited satisfaction from seeing our numbers go north. I mean, I get some, but it's limited. But yeah, let me tell you what, you know what I get really, real satisfaction from? I get satisfaction when I hear stories from people around here, like some of you. I hear these stories about how God's values have been produced in your life, and how when that happens, you begin to reproduce those in other people's lives, and people that are disconnected from God begin to allow God's values be seen in their life because of what is going on in your life. You say, hey, it's not just about me, but it's about me reproducing that in other people. I get excited about that. I get excited when I see people come into this place, and they're growing in their love for others. I get excited when I see people who say, you know, I want to grow in my level of selflessness. I know I'm a selfish person. And yet I'm going to give of my time, of myself in some way, even though it's against the grain of what we feel like we is the norm. And yet I'm going to do that because I want to become less selfish and more selfless. I get excited when I see people say, man, it's not about me. I may not dig totally the music, may not dig everything that happens, but I get excited about what God is doing. I say, man, I want to be a part of that thing. I get excited about that. I get excited. I mean, you know, I believe, you know, one of the primary problems in our world today, you name it, pick a problem, one of the primary things in our world that's going south is usually a result of God's values not being built into people's lives. In fact, as I think about our staff team around here, you know, we have six staff team members now. And some of them are paid, some of them are unpaid, which means they operate like a full staff, like this is their job, and yet they volunteer their time. And on other levels, we have staff members who get paid for their job, and yet we don't differentiate between the paid and the unpaid. Everybody does their role. And for those that are paid, I would venture to say they probably make 40 to 50% less than they can make doing the same thing out in the business world. Why would they do that? Why would they do that? Because they see what happens in this place, and they see that there are things that happen out of this place called Crosspoint that don't happen in any other sector of society. And they're like, man, I want my life to be about meaning. I want my life to be about purpose. I want to give my life in this way. I want to make a difference. And I get excited about that. That inspires me. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 2, and you see another picture right here of how Paul says this is how the church, this local entity, is supposed to work. He says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners or aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on a foundation of the apostles' prophets with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Now, this is another great example right here of how the church is supposed to operate, how you and I are supposed to operate. And what this is basically saying is Paul's giving us a picture. He says, hey, the church, it looks kind of like a physical building, even though we're, you know, over these next 18 months, we're going to be really intentional about saying the church is not a building. As we begin a build process, we're not a building. We're a group of people. But Paul is saying it gets built just like a building gets built. Meaning, there was a time where this whole community was just a bunch of foreigners and aliens. Meaning, when you were born, you were an alien. You were out of sync with God. You were estranged from God. But in some way, there's been a concerted effort on someone's behalf to bring you back into concert, back into sync, back into relationship and connection with God. And because of that, you're no longer a foreigner or an alien. And what happens is you notice it says up there, Jesus, can we go back one screen? It says Jesus is the cornerstone right there. And so Paul makes a point right here. He compares Jesus to a cornerstone. Now, we don't understand cornerstones. You know, this is from like a whole different building era. And so a cornerstone was essential. It was the most critical stone in an entire build project. It was the first stone that was laid. And a cornerstone had to be perfectly level. It had to be a perfect 90-degree angle. It had to be perfectly plumb because this cornerstone was laid down on the ground. And then from that cornerstone, every line and every wall was struck by that cornerstone, which means that if that cornerstone is skewed in any way, shape, or form, the entire building is then out of whack. And so what we see happening right here is God says, hey, I'm going to give you a backstage pass. You feel like you're disconnected, can't really access who I am, don't really understand, but let me send myself down in the form of flesh and love. I'm going to send myself down in the form of Jesus, and I'm going to show you what I'm really like. I'm going to show you what my character's like. I'm going to show you what my intentions are, what my passions are. I'm going to show you so you feel like you can know me and really get a grasp on who I am. And so God does this. He gives us this picture in the form of Jesus, his perfectly centered life, perfectly squared life, perfectly integrated life. And he plops him down and he says he's going to be the cornerstone. And then you know what he says happens? He says foreigners and aliens, they come and they experience this way of Jesus. They get adopted into the family because remember, you don't choose God. As Scripture says, God chooses you. You may have thought that you came here because somebody invited you, or you heard we had a really hot band, or funny guy up front, the funny looking guy at least, standing up front. And you're like, you know, I'm going to come here for some reason, but here's the reality. For whatever reason you came into this place, God came here to meet you. He says, I choose you. I adopt you into my family. He says, when that happens, as you're no longer a foreigner or an alien. When Christ builds in and accepts you and you receive his grace, he says, you're no longer a foreigner. And you plop yourself down right next to Jesus as he plopped himself down as the cornerstone. And these walls, like bricks, begin to be built. He said, this is how the community of the church gets developed. It's about placing ourselves as aliens and strangers alongside Jesus, and God builds the church. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 4. This is yet another picture right here. He says, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. So here's some official titles that Paul lays out. He says, there's some of the titles and roles that people are supposed to do. And I'm doing two of these right now. I'm kind of being a pastor and I'm fulfilling the role of a teacher. Now, just so you know, there's one reason that I fulfill that role. There's one reason that I do what I do every week. And look, it says specifically what it is right there. To prepare God's people for works of service so the body, the building, the community of Christ may be built up. Now, you know, I know some of you think, man, it must be really cool. You walk out of here, get all kinds of props. I don't do what I do so I can walk out of here and people can say, hey, way to go, Kurt. Good job if I didn't stink too bad. All right, I mean, I don't do it for that. I don't do what I do so I can, you know, when we continue to grow and develop and we build some structure and people say, man, look how cool. I don't do this so that I can say, man, I was a part of making this happen. I do my job for one reason and one reason only. To build up the community of the church, foreigners and aliens who come into this experience with Christ, and to prepare this community to continue to help others see who Jesus really is. It's the only reason I'm here. You know, and when we think about that, that's the role that every one of us are called to. For some reason, though, sometimes we're like, man, I just want to be a Siskel and Ebert. I want to sit in the back row, criticize, critique. And I thank God we have very few of those around here. I mean, we this is a great community that gets engaged. But you know what? If there's one person not engaged, then our role is not complete. And so, you know, I recently ran across this poem. You guys remember the poem, Footprints in the Sand? Remember that poem? Anybody ever read that before, seen it? You know, it's read at different points, funerals, difficult times. Well, I ran across this one. It's kind of an offshoot of that. Take a look. It says, but then some stranger prince appeared. I asked the Lord, what have we here? Those prints are large and round and neat, but Lord, they are too large for feet. My child, he said in somber tones, for miles I carried you alone. I challenged you to walk in faith, but you refused and made me wait. You disobeyed and would not grow. The walk of faith you would not know. So I got tired, I got fed up, and there I dropped you on your butt. All right? So that's where it loses the inspiration right there, all right? You're like, this is good. But because in life there comes a time when one must fight and one must climb, but one must rise and take a stand or leave their butt prints in the sand, all right? So it's literally called Butt Prints in the Sand. Nobody wanted to take credit for it, all right? It's an unknown author. But think about that. I mean, I want this community. I care way too much about this community to leave butt prints in the sand. All right, I want this community to move from the critiquing, criticizing, and there's very few of us that do that, but to move from the Siskel and Eberts to a place where we're actually playing. We're actually being built up because we're engaged. We're actually being obedient to what God's calling us to do because saying, hey, I'm a player. And some of us might be saying, man, Kurt, you're changing the rules on us a bit. I thought this was a place where I could come and hang and explore and drink all the good coffee. I'm like, well, hey, you can do that. You know, if you're on the front end of checking this place out, man, that's what we created this place for. But when God begins to build into you and you're no longer a foreigner or an alien, it's time to stop leaving butt prints. And it's time to get in the game. That's what God's saying right here. In fact, this is one of the core values of this place. We've been doing this from the very beginning. We, you know, multiplication. We actually have a symbol for it. We don't call it a value. We call it a hill. because this is one of the hills we die on around here. It's like we're in a battle, and we will multiply. We will look for opportunities to reproduce. You know, we decided this from the very beginning. In fact, you know, and this isn't a slam on other churches, but, you know, early on as we began to create some of our own material and create cool art, you know, all this stuff comes in-house from our designers and artists and everything we do out of here. And you can go to a lot of websites and buy stuff for like $50. You know, church is like, hey, this was really good for us. We're going to sell it for $100. You know, we should have made a very strategic decision from the very beginning to CrossPoint to say, you know what? We have a difficult time seeing the internet to be used for $5 sermons and design graphics and free porn. I mean, there's just something wrong with that, right? And so we said, you know, we're going to be a reproducing church. We're going to give stuff away. You will never see a copyright by CrossPoint on anything we do. People call us and they're like, hey, can we use this series? Can we use some of the videos you created? Can we use your notes? Whatever it may be. And we're like, hey, if what we produce can help you, it helped us. If it can help you be more effective in what you're doing, you can take it, reproduce it. There's not going to be a copyright on it. Reproduce as much as you want. Hand it off to other people. We want to be a reproducing place. From the ground up, from Christians reproducing Christians, leaders reproducing leaders, to churches reproducing churches. I mean, when we helped launch Catalyst Church a year and a half ago, I mean, I had people come to me and they said, man, Kurt, you are crazy. You guys aren't even in a building yet. You're still meeting in a school and you're going to send a whole bunch of people from CrossPoint up the road to the north to start another church. You guys are like a baby. They're like, well, that's just what we do. We're reproducers. We believe in multiplication. We believe it's God's math. And so, you know, the reality is, you know, this is what God calls us to do. Why do we do this? Why do we want you to reproduce yourself? A couple reasons right here. First of all, it's God's plan. It's God's plan. It's what God calls us to do. From the very beginning, he placed Adam and Eve on the earth. And what did he say? He said, hey, go and multiply, reproduce. The guys love that part. They're like, come on, honey, we're supposed to be multiplying right here. Let's go. Let's go. This is what we're created for. It goes beyond that. He puts them in the garden and said, hey, be productive. Use your energy and talents. Produce things. Reproduce things. Steer this thing somewhere. This is what God calls us to do. You see, this is God's plan for our lives, for us to come alongside people and to produce, to be creative and innovative and take things to new places. It's part of his plan for our life. Second reason is this is how God grows you. I guarantee you, I tell you what, I love experiencing growth. Growth is so much fun because I get to go to places that I've never been in my life when I grow. And you know, here's the deal, when we get involved in what God is doing, we actually open the door for God to do more in our life because God is an investor. We time and time again see throughout the scriptures Jesus making connects to God being an investor. In fact, once he tells a parable of a landowner. He says this landowner, he's getting ready to go away, and so he hands out some of his investments to three men. And he says, he gives it to him and says, hey, go be productive with this. And he goes away for a while. And when the landowner comes home, he asks these guys to return and show him what he's done with what he gave them. And two of them were very productive. Two of them went out and they reproduced. They took what they had and they built into people, and those people built into other people. But the one, he just kept what he had and kept it to himself. And here's what the landowner says. He says, hey, you right there, you two that took this, and you just built into people and took what I gave you, and you invested in other people. You know what I want to do for you? I want to give you more. I want to give you more. Because God is an investor. I guarantee you, you will not go to new places. You will not go to new places in your spiritual life, in your life, if you do not allow God open up and invest in what God is doing. Third reason, and I believe Scripture teaches this, I believe this with all my heart, God gets involved in your life to the level that you get involved in other people's lives. I mean, it's very simple. You can't grow. You won't grow. You will not go to new places until you say, man, I want to get involved and plop myself down next to where Jesus is and start reproducing whatever's been built in me into other people. And, you know, we all have a defining moment on this stuff. I mean, we all have this moment where, you know, we're like, oh, man, I get it. I see it. Now it's starting to make sense for me. I mean, maybe today is that moment. Maybe you're somebody who's just been kind of here. You've been hanging around, and God's been building into you. And for the first time, you're like, oh, my word, I'm seeing this for the very first time. Now you know. Maybe you're somebody who's had this, and it's just been buried, and it's been kind of lost. You know, let me tell you about when I saw this, when I got this for the very first time. It was about 26, 27 years ago. I was up in Michigan, and my family had just moved to Michigan, and I was like 11 years old, 12 years old, and I was out playing basketball on our driveway. And we just moved in. I was just meeting the neighbors, and I'm out shooting hoops, and we had this little buffer between our driveway and our neighbor's driveway, just a little grass, like 10-foot buffer, one pine tree between our two basketball goals. And I'm standing out there shooting hoops, and my neighbor comes out and starts playing a little bit, and a few of his friends come over, and his older brother then comes out, and they start a pickup game. Before long, like half of the varsity basketball team is over there, and they're playing like a pickup game, and I later found out that the two captains of the varsity team were playing. And so, you know, I'm over on my driveway, and I don't really know these guys, but I'm looking up to them, I'm watching them, I'm acting like I'm playing in their game, all right? So I'm like dribbling around the corner, I'm like going up for the shot at the end, you know, hitting the game winner, except I throw up an air ball. It bounces through the buffer yard and rolls onto their court. And the guys are like, whoa, we got a loose ball. And I'm like very sheepishly like walking over, and I'm like, I am so sorry. And I look up, and here's these huge dudes standing here. And they're like, hey, who's this? And Mike, the older neighbor next to me, who's like a senior in high school, he's like, oh, this is our kid neighbor, Kurt. He just moved in. And I'll never forget this moment right here. Stu, one of the captains of the varsity team, he looked at me and he said, Kurt, are you a player? Time stood still right there. I'm like, oh, how I answer this could define my athletic destiny. I mean, it's like, whoa. So I stutter. I'm like, yeah, I'm a player. And he's like, well, get in the game. Let's go. And I was like, oh, my word. It's unbelievable. I mean, these are the guys I look up to. I mean, here I throw an air ball up, and then they invite me to play in the game. I mean, these are like the guys. I later saw these guys play. I'm like, man, I was playing with them. It was absolutely unbelievable. I mean, it's like the highlight of my life, and at least to that point. And so you know, this is like a really cool deal. So, like, I extrapolate that forward. I was thinking, you know, I learned something there right there. I learned something in that moment. And as I extrapolate that forward and began to think about, you know, what I do now and what that moment meant, am I a player? I began to play this out, and it just hit me one day, hit me. It said, Kurt, you know, there will be a day when you go. Meaning there'll be a day when I go. I die. I stand before God face to face. And I'm gonna have to answer. I'm gonna have to kind of give an account for the way that I live my life, for my motives, for my intentions, for my decisions, for my thoughts. I mean, I'm gonna have to lay it all out before God, every single one of us. And you know, when I'm standing there before God, I thought, you know, God's not gonna say, Kurt, you know, did you find a church that really fed you? I mean, I don't think that's gonna be God's number one question. I don't think God's number one question is gonna be, man, Kurt, did you find a church where you loved and were really in sync with the musical style of that place? I don't think God's gonna say, you know, Kurt, were you in a place where you were politically aligned with wherever this church was? You know, after all, churches shouldn't even have a political alignment. I don't think those are the questions. You know what I think the question's gonna be? I think it's going to be one question and one question only. I think God's going to look at me and he's going to say, Kurt, were you a player? Were you a player? Were you a reproducer? Were you doing this? Because friends, here's the deal. There are people all across our nation in churches this morning, millions of people, 17% approximately of the American population. And they are sitting in the stands being fans. And they're fans. They're not players. They're fans. And you know, they sit up in the stands, they eat their peanuts, they, you know, when the weather starts going a little south, they pack up and leave early. When maybe the team isn't doing so well, they check out till next season. They're fans. That's all they are, is fans. And all I want for you, I want for every person that calls this place their home, calls Cross Point their home base, I want you to be able to say, when your time comes, when you go and stand before God, I want you to be able to say, man, I was a player. And I did my best. I gave it everything that I had. That's all I want. That's all I want. I was talking to one of my friends who used to be at Cross Point. He and his wife joined us right when we launched, and they moved away to Cincinnati a few years ago. And a while back, we were having a conversation, and he was talking to me. He said, Kurt, you know, I'm kind of a big cheese when I walk into my office at work. I mean, he's kind of like a business jock kind of guy. And he said, but you know what's fascinating is when I walk into Cross Point, I'm not a big cheese there. He said, I walk into this place, and he said, you got to do just like menial service stuff around here. I mean, he said, you know, it's kind of like a family. Equate it to a family. He said, the church community is like a family. He said, when I walk in there, he said, you don't just come in running and take over the finances and start running the finances of this place. He said, you come in, you start doing like the menial service stuff, like clearing the table, setting the table. And that's what he did when he was here. He cleared the table and set the table every Sunday for us. And he said, you know, it's kind of like when you're new in a family, you don't just go straight to being dad. You got to start being a kid. And some of the things we do around here, some of the things I'm going to be asking you to consider doing in these next few moments, you may look at those and say, man, those are no big deal. These things may look like menial work to you. But let me just be clear, they are not. They are not. The things I'm about ready to ask you to do in these next few moments are things that literally allow God's values to be reproduced in the lives of people each and every week. It allows people walking in here for the first time to see Jesus for who he really is each and every weekend. And let me just be honest, you and I, we have a unique opportunity. We have a unique opportunity to invest in something that's going to have ripples long after you and I are gone. In the Exit 10 and surrounding communities. Make no mistake about it. I mean, this place is marked. I believe that. I mean, not that others aren't doing it in our community, but let me just tell you, if I could tell you stories of some of the things that I experienced this week alone, I just stood back and said, man, this place is marked. God, I don't know what you're doing, but we have a unique opportunity to be a part of something. Very unique. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to take out the connection card we filled out earlier. And on the back side are some next steps. It says, my next step today. And I want you to hold that in your hand. I want you to grab a pen. And before you do that, I want to give you a joyful out. Because I realize there are some of us here today who you've been sitting here and you're like, man, I'm not, this stuff's not clicking with me. I'm not digging this stuff. In fact, you might be feeling a little guilty. Maybe you're feeling guilty because I didn't communicate well today. I don't know. Maybe, here's what I want you to do, though. I want you to feel so good about not filling this thing out, because I don't want it happening out of guilt. So if you don't feel good about filling this out today, then I want you to feel good about that. All right, and so that I just want to say that. But if you're like, man, this is clicking, this is where I am, well, then ask, over the next season, over the next 18 months, will you commit to serving in 2 service opportunities a month around this place, or more? Some of you serve more. And so on the back, it says, I will continue volunteering where I'm currently serving. If you're serving 2 times a month, then and you're willing to continue to do that, then just mark that box. There's something about declaring and saying, hey, I'm already there. I'm investing in this place. I want to continue. Declare it today. If you serve maybe once, you're like, man, I want to increase. Maybe you serve twice and you want to increase. Maybe you want to begin load in, load out, because you can do that even if you're serving somewhere else. Then mark that box and then mark what you're interested in. Or if you want to begin serving today for the first time, maybe you've never understood this is how this thing rolls, then mark that box. Let me tell you about a few of these areas. Load in, load out. These guys set the table, clear the table every weekend. I mean, this team, and we could use anywhere from 10 to 12 more men and women on this team that would make this place operate. This is critically important, is that we continue to be able to set up effectively and create a spiritual environment here every week until we have one of our own. If you don't know where you want to serve, let me say, this is a great place to start right here. We have hospitality teams, people that are greeters at the front door just saying, hey, how are you? And open the door for people when they walk in, handle weekly at the door here. People that hand coffee that was apparently poured with love, we hear, out at the coffee bar. And it just creates a connection and a place of hospitality every week. Maybe this is you. Maybe you say, yeah, I could do that. Very menial, basic thing, and yet makes an enormous difference. We have a need in our student ministry, 7th to 12th grade, coming alongside some of the students here at Crosspoint, very critical time of life for students. And just being a friend, being somebody who doesn't have to have all the answers, but can just be a friend and love on kids. If you're interested, mark that box. On Sundays, we have an Area 56 for 5th and 6th graders, just teaching some basic lessons, and we put tools in your hands so you can be a hero with the kids. It doesn't take rocket science to figure this stuff out. You have to have a big heart and be willing to love kids. Our elementary-aged environment, upstreet, it's a production environment. In there, we have multiple roles, multiple ways to connect. We have drama in that room. We present a dramatic kind of illustration of a story or a virtue-based story, a biblical story every week. If you're into drama, man, we would love to plug you in to helping kids see Jesus for who he really is. If you love to sing and get all amped up and excited, the kids sing in there. They sing some of the same songs we sing in here. They just do motions with them and get all sweaty and have fun. We would love to have you expend your energy out there. And it's a great, like Zumba workout along the way. All right? I mean, you can do 2 things at one time. Maybe you're not a big group person. You're like, I like small groups of kids. We need small group leaders back there every week. It takes between 4 and 6 adults to sit in small groups with kids and help them just understand what's being talked about. You don't have to be a biblical hero to do that. We will literally put tools in your hands and you will be a hero with those kids, making spiritual connects every week. Or maybe you're a tech person and you're like, man, I want to help in the kids' areas, but I'm not any of those things. Well, you know, we had people pushing buttons and putting images on screens and, you know, and all that stuff. You know, these are the simple ways to do this. In Wambaland, our preschool ministry, we need people that will serve in our preschool class, doing a simple lesson, giving you tools to do a simple learning experience with kids, and just simply loving on kids, welcoming them into the classroom when they come. In our nursery, we need willing hands to just love on kids, to give a free lap and an arm to sleep on. So that when parents come into this place, they can drop their little ones off, as has already even happened today, and know that their kids are safe, so they can come into this room and maybe something can happen that changes the direction of that family for eternity. As you experience every week in this room, we have all kinds of creative ministries. I mean, maybe you played in a bar band when you were like 18. Man, we could use you here. We'd love to get you plugged in up here on the stage. You know, maybe you sang someplace. I mean, we'd love to have you come to a practice and try it out. Or maybe you're, again, not an upfront person. You like pushing knobs and you're into tech stuff. I mean, these guys keep us rolling in the back, pushing knobs, sound sliders, all kinds of stuff. There is a place around here. Basic, simple things that make this community be what it is. In about 6-7 weeks, we're going to start something called a journey, and we're looking now for hosts, for small group hosts, life together group hosts, which means, you know, you got to be somebody who's just willing to get a couple people together, a handful of people together for 6 weeks, provide an environment for people to gather in community and hang out, whether it's at your home, in your apartment, at a Starbucks, wherever it may be, and just simply talk about what we talk about on the weekend experience. How does that live out for you? We give you some tools to where you just get the discussion going, and then it runs on its own. You're like, man, I can do that. I can create an environment for that. I have some friends I'd love to invite that may not come to this environment, but they'd come to that. We just need hosts. So take a few moments. I want you to get a pen in your hand, and I want you to say, this is my next step today. And identify where that is. And if you don't know you want to serve, but you don't know, in your weekly is a serve survey. You can fill that out, and then we will help identify a place for you to get connected. So take 45 minutes, 45 seconds, a minute. Sorry, I won't keep you that long. 45 seconds, a minute, and go ahead and take a moment and just mark that on your card. As you're finishing marking your cards, let me introduce you to somebody here. This is Angelo Brown, and you talk about becoming selfless. Angelo has taken selfless to a whole new level this week, in fact. Over the last 2-3 months, Angelo's been giving his stuff away. He's been selling stuff from his house. He's been packing it up, all the way down to two suitcases is all he's got left. And he's getting ready to go to Hunan, China. I mean, guy, he feels like God's just given him a call in his life. We've seen it. We've watched it develop. And this is Angelo's last week here with us at Crosspoint. He's been with us for a few years, and he's you know, God's just called him, said, hey, it's not just about here, but I want to reproduce what you've experienced and created here in this environment. I mean, he's been out at coffee bar, all kinds of places he's served around here. I want to reproduce that on the other side of the world, helping people see who Jesus really is. And Angelo said, hey, I'm up for the call. And so so this is hard for me, because I've been a friend with Angelo for like 20 years. All right, and so like, I'm sad. I mean, first service was harder, because, you know, it's the first time, and yet I know right now is the last time he's going to be on this stage with me. And so we want to pray for Angelo. We want to send him off with a prayer of blessing and support, and so we're going to do that in just a moment. And I want to invite you guys to stand with me. Just stand to your feet. And I know that there are many of you who are connected with Angelo, that are supporting him financially, as Crosspoint is doing, that just want to support him prayerfully. And so if you are connected to Angelo whatsoever, we're going to pray for him in a moment. If you want to come down and just kind of stand at the front here, we're going to have you kind of gather around him in a moment. So as we're talking, you can come on down. And I know Angelo has something he wants to say to you, because this community has been a critical part of him going to where he's going. So, Angelo, what do you got for us?
I want to sit here and just thank every single one of you from Cross Point. Those of you who've prayed for me, who've encouraged me, who've stood beside me and walked this journey with me. Mentioning names, I know, can get you in trouble, but I want to thank Doug and Holly Harold, who have just been with me from day one. The Cross, of course, you know, just all of you folks. Becky Tile, who's just been just such an inspiration as far as even encouraging me with prayer and just kind of just being with me. But all of you, I don't want to just single out one person, but I just want to thank you all. I want to thank the Three Brothers Moving Company. They know who they are. And the two ladies that packed all my stuff up and throw all my good crap away. And that's Bethany and Tina. But I want to thank you folks all. And I love you guys and I appreciate you. I love to hear from you guys while I'm in China. Be mindful and be careful. Please don't. No Jesus God stuff in the emails, please. Let's just keep it, you know, thinking about you and, just thinking about you and things like that. But just kind of be mindful. They intercept those emails. And please don't ever reference Gotta Go or even I Go. Okay? So when you send that, let's not talk about it ever. But I will try to stay in contact with you guys. And just thank you so much for being there for me. I really appreciate it. God bless you all. Thank you.
We're going to have Evangelist step down here in the middle of this crowd. You guys can just gather around him. And, you know, as you go today, he's got some prayer cards out on the Connection Point. When you stop, as you exit the front door today, just stop by, grab one. Put it somewhere we can see his face and you can pray for him. Let's pray. God, there's some big stuff going on in this room this morning. For some of us, we're seeing things for the first time. We're saying, man, you know, maybe my life can go to a different place. And it requires not me just trying to say, God, how can I get closer? It involves me becoming more selfless and less selfish. Today, God, I know there's many people overwhelmed. I am grateful for people around this place. The just loads of people that invest in this place and give of themselves week in, week out. I mean, it's a great community. And many of us here have benefited from that. And today, God, some of us made decisions to say, hey, I'm going to begin to do this. I'm going to begin to become a player. I want to be a part of what God is doing. And so, God, just cement those things in our heart as we make connects with these people this week. Help us to become engaged in new ways and take us, God, take this community to new places because we believe you've got your hand on this place. You've marked this community that we'll continue to build into people. And God, we want to pray for our brother Angelo. I mean, this is a sad day. It's a sad day because Angelo physically is no longer going to be in this place. We're not going to see his smile. We're not going to receive a cup of coffee from him or a, hey, how you doing at the front door or a big hug. We're not going to be able to experience that. We're going to see him on a screen. We're maybe going to get an update by video. And yet, God, this is what we do. God, you build into us, and we can't keep it here. We have to send it. We have to go out and follow what you call us to do. And so we are excited to send Angelo. To be one of his sending partners, one of his financial partners, one of his prayer partners, and sending him to show people in Hunan, China, who Jesus really is. And so, God, I ask that you would protect him. God, he's going into a spiritually hostile environment, a place where this message is not welcomed, where he's going to be building into people's lives under the current of the culture. And so, God, just go before him, encourage him. In those moments where he's down relationally or emotionally, just nudge us to in some way send something his way. And as we have our physical hands on him right now, God, may he feel over these next 2 years the support from this community and the many who are praying for him. Man, God, it's exciting. It's exciting to see him go and to be obedient. We pray these things in your name. According to your character, amen. All I got to say, Angelo, is way to go, buddy. Way to go.